Hello, it's Monday, the 6th of July, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. The UN and its agencies are keeping terrorism alive in Palestinian society. Well-meaning states that pump billions of dollars in aid through the UN are simply perpetuating a cycle of war and misery. Olga Deutsch, Vice President of NGO Monitor and Senior Fellow at Misgav, tells us more in a moment, but first the headlines. It's day three of funeral ceremonies for Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, with thousands filling the streets of Tehran and many calling for revenge against Israel and the United States. There has still been no public appearance by his successor, Mojtaba Khamenei, while talks between Washington and Tehran have been delayed until after the ceremonies end. Israel's Defense Minister Israel Katz warned that any Iranian leader who seeks Israel's destruction will meet the same fate as Khamenei. Hamas is reportedly preparing to dissolve its governing body in Gaza and hand authority to a committee of Palestinian technocrats as part of plans for post-war administration of the Strip. But major obstacles remain, including Hamas's refusal to disarm and the continuing deadlock in negotiations with Israel. Israeli and Greek air forces have carried out a joint exercise over the eastern Mediterranean, with an Israeli tanker refueling Greek F-16s south of Crete in a drill close to Turkish airspace. Greek media described the exercise as an important shift in the regional balance ahead of a NATO summit in Ankara. The French President Emmanuel Macron is expected to become the first European Union leader to visit Syria since the fall of Bashar al-Assad. According to the Syrian presidency, he'll travel with business leaders and investors as France seeks to carve out a role in Syria's reconstruction. And finally, two former hostages who were abducted together on October 7th have been married in Israel. Sapir Cohen and Sasha Trufanov were kidnapped together from kibbutz near Oz and taken to Gaza. Their wedding was attended by fellow former hostages and President Isaac Herzog. Before we get to today's conversation, a reminder, you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Olga Deutsch. So Olga, there is a real battle raging right now about the future of the UN agency UNRWA and its role in Gaza. On one side, you've got Israel and the Americans, and on the other side, you've got the Palestinians, the Qataris, Turkey, and some of the Europeans. Who is winning that battle right now?
It's an ongoing battle for years now, because it is important to understand two things about UNRWA. Number one, it is not to be seen only as a matter of humanitarian aid, and the Europeans and the international community continues to try to strip it off all its political layers and pretend to portray UNRWA as the only alternative, an absolute must in order to cater for the humanitarian needs of the Palestinian population. So it is a political issue. It is a political institutionalization of the myth of refugees. Let us remind everyone that Palestinian people are the only that have fifth generation of refugees in any other country. It is a political statement because the UNRWA platforms this Palestinian myth that one day all these people will return to what they believe is their state.
Because the British do now recognize a Palestinian state. They've also just awarded £23 million to UNRWA. So they're giving money to Palestinian refugees who are allegedly inside a Palestinian state. It just doesn't make sense.
It makes no sense. And it makes no sense that now some of them living in, you know, Lebanon or Jordan continue to receive funds as fifth generation refugees, although they were born and are growing up in these countries. We have seen abundance of evidence that UNRWA employees held hostages or were completely complicit with Hamas or were actually Hamas. But UNRWA is only one out of 34 UN agencies catering for the needs of the Palestinian society. And all of them are basically flawed. The issue cannot be diminished to a conversation of yes, UNRWA or no UNRWA. Even if it is replaced with, say, UNDP, which is one of the main alternative UN agencies that is being thrown into the air, that agency will have the same challenges. They will have to work with the 35,000 local employees. What am I trying to say is that we collectively need a more holistic approach and solution, how to administer aid, how to help the Palestinian society, because we know that there is absolutely no transparency and most certainly no accountability. Let's say that the U.S. or any European country or the EU legislates something pertaining to the aid being administered directly from that country. The EU has a list of restrictive measures, which is basically the EU terrorist. The UN does not have that. Hamas and PFLP and Islamic Jihad are not prescribed as terror organizations at the UN level. The EU, similarly, does have a very comprehensive multi-annual strategy on combating anti-Semitism. The UN does not have that. So we have a paradoxical situation that Germany or the EU or even the US will vet money coming directly from their capitals, will then, through framework agreements with the United Nations, send incredible amounts of money, billions of dollars, completely unchecked, with the simple line, we trust the United Nations. And if we have learned anything since October the 7th, that is that we should definitely not trust the United Nations and all their agencies.
Well, and also, I mean, if you go to the UN official website, you type in UN Israel, the first page, the words that jump out at you are genocide, deliberately targeting children, apartheid. And then if you go to UN Russia, you know, there's the history of the Soviet states and how the Russian Federation came about and all the rest of it, nothing about the war in Ukraine. I mean, there is endemic hostility towards Israel at the UN. How do you even begin to counter that?
When the United Nations launched their emergency appeal for the last quarter of 2023 for Gaza, 3 months after October the 7th, they asked for a remarkable $1.6 billion in emergency aid. They stated three objectives. The third one was political advocacy. Pause for a second. Political advocacy, this is where they're claiming that there is incredible humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza. Millions are displaced from their homes, right? Political advocacy, when you look, and this is what we do at NGO Monitor also, when you look at what that means and who that money goes to, it goes to Palestinian so-called human rights and humanitarian NGOs who exactly spearhead the libelous campaigns such as apartheid, genocide, starvation, bringing Israeli officials and soldiers in front of the International Criminal Court and International Court of Justice, the same organizations who basically lobbied the United Nations to create the Special Commission of Inquiry to investigate alleged Israeli crimes against international law and humanity, which served as the legal basis for the case in front of the International Criminal Court in The Hague. So it is a full-blown campaign, the kinetic war, that Hamas and other Palestinian organizations are waging against us. It has two goals. One is to normalize Hamas and other Palestinian terror organizations and oftentimes even romanticize them. And this is how we have a situation that BBC discusses whether Hamas, which is the prescribed terror organization in the UK, should be labeled in their stories as terror organization or
militants, yeah,
combatants, you know, freedom fighters and so on.
And they don't have such qualms about ISIS, of course. And when you go to Europe and you show these policymakers the evidence that taxpayer money is ending up in the pockets of terrorists, what kind of reaction are you getting?
It's very tricky. Certain decision makers and most certainly diplomats in Europe are extremely ideological. They will dismiss too easily evidence. They will dismiss them and say, yes, but the occupation. Others who are our friends, and we do have a lot of friends in Europe, but I think that they are lacking information and they lack alternatives from us. They'll say to me, I know that UNRWA is a problem. We know and we've seen evidence. We know that Hamas cannot be trusted, even PA cannot be trusted, right? But tell us what can be the alternative. In the next decade, aid will be the main economic driving engine of Gaza. There is no economy right now in Gaza. There's no industry. So even our friends are caught somewhere in between. We have to administer aid. And now the question is how. There is no scenario in which the Europeans will say we will stop all aid. And that is, I think, something that all of us here need to internalize, including decision makers, and then pivot from just insisting on showing what is bad and pivot right to providing reliable alternatives.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching or listening. And please do subscribe using the link below. Goodbye.